This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. اعتقاده it's belief. Meaning, what is it that we must believe in في concerning about علوه ومعيته سبحانه. The علو of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ma'iyyah. What is علو? The fact that He is high. And what is ma'iyyah? The fact that He is with His servants. So what is it that we have to believe concerning these two attributes? That He is high and He is also with His servants. وَمَعْنَى كَوْنِهِ. And the meaning of His being, subhanahu, glorified He is, فِي السَّمَاءِ, in the sky. Meaning in the Qur'an, we learn that many times it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is He? فِي السَّمَاءِ. So what does it mean by that? فِي السَّمَاءِ. وَأَدِلَّةُ ذَلِكَ, and the evidences of that. He says, وَكُلُّ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ. And all of this kalam, all of these words, all of this speech, الَّذِي, which ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ, that Allah has mentioned. Which kalam that Allah has mentioned? Min, from, meaning about, because min also gives the meaning of bayan, it's explanatory, so it's explaining. أَنَّهُ, that indeed He فوق العرش, that He is above the throne. So all of the kalam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, meaning all of the ayat that mentioned the fact that He is above His throne, وَأَنَّهُ مَعَنَا, and that He is also with us, all of these ayat, they are حَقٌ. They are true, meaning real, عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ, in reality. Meaning they have to be believed in as they are. We do not need to distort the meaning, we have to accept it as a reality. Meaning in its literal sense, in its true sense. لَا يَحْتَاجُ, it does not need, it is in no need of, إِلَى تَحْرِيفٍ, of any تَحْرِيف, تَحْرِيف meaning distortion. In other words, we don't need to distort any text, neither its meaning nor the words. وَلَكِنْ, but يُصَانُ, it has to be guarded against. It has to be protected from. From what? عَنِ الظُّنُونِ الْكَاذِبَةِ, against false thoughts, false assumptions, false presumptions. Because ظُنُون is a plural of ظَن. And الْكَاذِبَةِ, those which are false. Those which are not true. So, in other words, in the Qur'an, when we learn about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high and He is also with His servants, then we have to believe in these attributes as they are. And we have to believe in their haqiqah, in their reality. We don't need to distort the meaning. We don't need to distort the words. But at the same time, we need to guard our mind. In the sense that don't let your thoughts go astray. And any false thought that comes to mind, it has to be purged. We have to get rid of it. What kind of thoughts could come to a person's mind when he thinks about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high and He is ma'a, His servants? He says, mithla, such as, an that yudhanna, it is thought, anna dhahira qawlihi, that the apparent meaning of His statement, fis sama'i, in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man fis sama', the one who is in the sama', in the sky. So the apparent meaning a person could take from these words fis sama', that anna sama'a, that the sky, tuqilluhu, it carries him, aw tudhilluhu, or it shadows him, it covers him. No, you don't go there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is fis sama', okay, we believe that He is high and we stop there. Now if the mind begins to wander and think that, okay, if He is in the sky, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky every last third of the night, then does it mean there is a sky above Him? And does it mean that He is inside the skies? No, we don't think about such things. We have to stop right there. Yusanu. This belief has to be guarded. Because وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We have only been given a little knowledge. And with that little knowledge, we cannot generalize and we cannot answer questions that come into mind.
So all such questions, all such doubts, or all such thoughts that come to mind, we have to get rid of them. And we don't have things such as تُقِلُّهُ أَوْ تُضِلُّهُ. تُقِلُّ from carrying, that it carries him, it contains him. تُضِلُّ from ظِلُّ, right? That it shadows him, it covers him, that it is above him. He says وَهَذَا بَاطِلٌ, and this is false. Meaning, thinking like this is false. Meaning, it has no foundation. It is invalid. It is not correct. Why is it false? How is it false? He says, بِإِجْمَاعِ, according to the إِجْمَاعِ, meaning the consensus. This is agreed upon. By who? أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْإِيمَانِ, the people of knowledge and iman. They never ever asked such questions. They never ever said such things. That if Allah descends to the lowest sky, then the sky is containing him, or that the sky is above him. No, they never said such things. So, according to the ijma' of the scholars, entertaining such thoughts is incorrect. So we don't go onto the side. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, he says, because indeed Allah. So first of all, he says that this is something that the scholars never thought about, and they refute it. And secondly, in the Qur'an, there is refutation of these thoughts. Where? He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ, because indeed Allah, قَدْ, in fact, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah's kursi, how big is it? How vast is it? It encompasses the skies and the earth. The skies, how many? All the seven skies and the earth. If the kursi is as vast as the skies and the earth, then how can it ever be imagined that the sky is containing him? No, it does not make sense. وَهُوَ الَّذِي, and he is the one who, يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ, he is the one who is holding the skies and the earth from what? أَن تَزُولَ, lest they move this way from their places. Meaning, who is holding the skies and the earth in their place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he is holding them, how can the skies contain him? You understand? وَيُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ, and also we learn that he is holding the sky from what? أَن تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, that it should fall upon the earth. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ, except by his permission. So he is not just holding the sky in its place, the earth in its place, but also the sky from falling down upon the earth. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ, of his signs is that the sky and the earth, they are standing in their places. How? بِأَمْرِهِ, by his command, at his command. And if he was to command them to move from their places, then what would happen? Just think about it, one star even. If a piece of it falls, if one star even moves from its place, what devastation it can cause. No? If you think about it, in the space there are so many such things, right? They are constantly moving. And if even one of them falls on the earth, what would happen? And we have seen how a small meteorite can also cause such huge craters. So much devastation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is holding and controlling all of these huge and massive entities. He is behind all of this. Then how can a person ever imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within the sky? No, He is beyond, He is above His creation. He is far beyond and above them. So entertaining any such thought, that okay, that if Allah comes down to the lowest sky, then He is in the sky, then what about His arsh? Does it become empty? No, no. Don't go that side. We don't need to go that side. Because A, we cannot answer these questions. And secondly, when we begin to entertain such thoughts, then we might be going down a very, very dangerous path. A very dangerous path. Because this is where kufr comes in. And this is where, you know, false thoughts come in. And this is the way to misguidance, basically.
Here, they do make, they try to portray or make, even for children, they make it understandable that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of course, they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we do. So they would make a huge being and a huge throne, and they are just showing huge feet and small little human beings as, right? So I'm thinking the importance of having this cleansing, yes, as to yusanu, this part that, okay, you have to protect the belief. Because sometimes it's possible that due to lack of knowledge, people within the Islamic fold would resort to such things, and they wouldn't mind showing such videos or cartoons or things.
Yes, and this needs to begin early, because children, their imagination can go really, really wild, right? And this is why they ask such apparently cute questions, because they're wondering. You know, one question leads to another question. But while we are answering those questions and explaining concepts to them, remember, يُصَانُ عَنِ الظُّنُونِ الْكَاذِبَةِ. This belief has to be guarded from false assumptions, from false thoughts. And these false thoughts, do they creep in? Of course they do. So, like for example, we are taught that, you know, a person says, who made this Allah? Who made that Allah? Who made that Allah? And then, who made Allah? Then that is a time when you seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that thought is from who? Shaytan. So, any such false thought that comes, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You know, for example, earlier on we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above His throne. And then He also has a kursi. And then He also has qadamain. Now, to think that, okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sits on His throne and then He has His feet on His kursi, why He needs to lift them up and why He needs a kursi. No, no, don't go that side. Because when we begin to ask these questions and we begin to entertain these thoughts, what are we doing essentially? We are comparing Him with the creation. We begin to relate His attributes with our attributes. And this is where the problem begins. So, a very, very important rule that we learn over here, that all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do? يُصَانُ عَنِ الظُّنُونِ الْكَاذِبَةِ. They have to be guarded against false thoughts, false assumptions, false presumptions. And if any time people went astray, why was it so? What was the reason behind that? Following these false dhunun, right? These dhunun al-kathiba, drawing images, drawing pictures, making idols. What do people say about those images and those idols? This is a representation of God. Right? So whatever came to their mind, whatever they thought, they made it. And they thought, okay, it better be, you know, more impressive than a human being. So the head is even more strange, or it has multiple heads and multiple hands. This, you see how it, where it ends up. It gets from bad to worse and worse. So wherever we reach the limit of our knowledge, we have to stop right there. Accept, realize that we have been given limited knowledge, and we learn in Ayatul Kursi, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. That they cannot encompass anything from His knowledge except that which He wills. And His knowledge is what? Knowledge about Him. That we cannot even learn about Allah except as much as He allows us to learn. And what is it that He has allowed us to learn? That which He has taught us in the Quran and through His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we reach the limit of that, that is where we stop. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. We have a cat at home and she likes to play with her. And I don't know what came into her mind, and she came, Mama, I wish this cat could pray like us to Allah. So I said, they do pray to Allah. So then she started asking, how do they pray? The way she meows, that's what she's praying? I said, no, it's not like that. It's that Allah has taught everyone how to praise Him. Allah taught us, that's why we pray. Allah has taught all the animals and trees and plants, everyone, how to pray them. And then she started wondering, do this cup pray? Do this plate pray? I said, okay, those things that Allah made, Allah taught them how to pray them. And these things, Allah taught humans to make them. So this is also the Allah's intelligence that came to humans, and human made these things.
So again, about this tasbih also, what do we learn? وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحًا. You do not understand how they do tasbih. So, we believe
that everything does tasbih? How? We don't know. Right? So again, with Allah's attributes also, we believe that Allah is high, He is with His servants, He listens, He speaks, He sees. But the question of how, we don't know. And that's okay. Because there's so many things that we don't know about. Within our body. Right? In our own lives, we don't know. So we accept our ignorance there. And there's no humiliation in that. The next section is, wujubul imani. The obligation of iman, of belief, of faith in, biqurbihi, of his closeness, min khalqihi, to his creation. To believe, the obligation of this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near his creation. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ, and indeed that, لَا يُنَافِي, it does not contradict, عُلُوَّهُ, his عُلُوب, his highness, وَفَوْقِيَّتَهُ, and his aboveness. So we also believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near his creation, close to them. And the fact that he is close to his creation, this does not contradict his highness or his aboveness. He is high, he is above, and at the same time he is close, he is near his creation. Faslun. وَقَدْ دَخَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ, and included in that is al-imanu, belief. بِأَنَّهُ قَرِيبٌ مِّنْ خَلْقِهِ, that indeed he is close to his creation. مُجِيبٌ, he is mujib, meaning he responds to his creation. So we believe that he is near, and at the same time, he is mujib. He responds. To who? To his servants. كَمَا جَمَعَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قَوْلِهِ, just as he has joined between that, meaning both of these attributes, he has mentioned them together, في قوله, in his statement, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, when my servants ask you about me, then indeed I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ, I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. So where have both of these facts been mentioned? That he is qareeb and he is mujib in this ayah? فَإِنِّي قَرِيب and أُجِيبُ. So he is qareeb and he is also mujib. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ, that indeed the one whom you call upon, he is أَقْرَبُ, closer, إِلَى أَحَدِكُمْ, to one of you, مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ, than the neck of his riding beast. Meaning when a person is riding his animal, then how close is the neck of his animal? Very close to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even closer than that to the slave. He is أَقْرَبُ. So from the hadith, the word أَقْرَبُ, what does that prove? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قَرِيب. So he is قَرِيب and he is مُجِيب. Now remember that his being closer than the neck of one's riding beast, this does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is physically present there. Likewise, in hadith we learn that when a servant is praying, then Allah is قِبَلَ وَجْهِ. Allah is in front of him. That also does not mean that Allah is between the musalli and the wall, or that Allah is between the musalli and the ground. No, we don't say such things. Qurb does not necessitate that he is upon the earth. You understand? Qurb, the fact that he is near, it does not necessitate that he is physically present. And we cannot imagine that he would be physically present. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything. I mean, in hadith we learn that the entire earth will be where? In his hand. In other hadith we learn that all the mountains and the trees on one finger, all the creation on one finger. Just imagine. So how can a person ever say this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is physically present before me? No. Again, when the mind begins to wander in this direction, what do you do? Stop right there. Believe that he is near. But don't believe in this sifa in human terms. In human terms. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing like him. He is unique. And he has encompassed everything. Now, certain scholars, they categorized qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into two categories. just like Ma'iyah. Ma'iyah, he is with. Right? And Qurb, he is near. So they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his servants, he has this Qurb Aam. Okay, that he is near all of his servants. And this is basically Ihata. That he has encompassed all of the creation. And the second category is of Qurb Khas. Qurb Khas, special Qurb. And what does that mean? That when a person calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the da'i, then Allah is near him. When a servant performs a good deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near him. Okay? Now, some scholars, they said that, no, there is only Qurb Khas. And this makes more sense. Because it cannot be imagined that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be near a fajir, a sinful person, a kafir, a disbelieving person. And the verses that tell us that, for example, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, that includes every human being. But that is understood as that with his angels. Okay, because remember that when the plural is used in the Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's talking about an action that the angels are doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, at the time of death, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ, right? That we are closer to the dying person. Obviously, who has come to take the soul of the person? The angels. Alright? So, the scholars have said that qurb, you know, ma'iyya, yes, there is am and there is khas, but when it comes to qurb, it's only the believing, righteous servants of Allah who can experience this nearness. You understand? Nearness. Yes, Allah hears everybody, but this honor of qurb is not given to every individual. It's only given to those who reach out to Allah. Like for example in the hadith, what do we learn? That when a servant takes one step towards Allah, then Allah takes 10 steps towards him. Right? So the distances, they decrease. But for who? For who? For every individual? For the one who seeks Allah. وَمَا ذُكِرَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ قُرْبِهِ وَمَعِيَّتِهِ. And that which has been mentioned in the book, meaning in the Quran and the Sunnah, مِنْ قُرْبِهِ وَمَعِيَّتِهِ, of his qurb and his ma'iyya, meaning of his closeness and his witness, meaning the fact that in the Quran, qurb is mentioned, ma'iyya is mentioned, لَا يُنَافِي, it does not contradict, مَا ذُكِرَ, that which has been mentioned, مِنْ عُلُوِّهِ, concerning his highness, وَفَوْقِيَّتِهِ, and his aboveness. Meaning in the Quran, on the one hand, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, and he is ma'a, his servants, he is near his servants, he is with his servants. And at the same time, we also learn that he is high, and he is above. So, he's saying that there is no contradiction between this. There is no contradiction between this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be near and high at the same time. فَإِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ, because indeed he, the exalted, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there is nothing like him, فِي جَمِيعِ نُعُوتِهِ, in all of his نُعُوت. نُعُوت is the plural of نَعْت. And what is نَعْت? A صفة, an attribute, a characteristic, a description. So, in all of Allah's attributes, remember that there is no one that resembles him. His summer. Does anyone resemble him in his hearing? No. Is there anyone who possesses similar vision? No. Is there anyone who possesses similar knowledge? No. Then likewise, when it comes to his qurb and his ulu, then there is no one like him. So don't compare him with the creation, thinking that if someone is too high, then they can't be with me. Yes, a human being, not possible for them. If they're on the 20th floor, they cannot be with you on the ground floor. Right? For a human being, it's not possible. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is high, but at the same time, He is with His servants. He says, وَهُوَ عَلِيٌّ فِي دُنُوِّهِ قَرِيبٌ فِي عُلُوِّهِ. Beautiful. He is Ali. He is high فِي دُنُوِّهِ, in His nearness. قَرِيبٌ, He is near, فِي عُلُوِّهِ, in His highness. Meaning, He is high while being near. He is high while being near. and he is near while being high. And there is no contradiction in this for him. Why? Because he is unique, unlike his creation, far above the limitations that they have. So you understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is unique. He is amazing. So He can be high and near. He can be near and high. And this is so beautiful, because what happens with us is that when we think of others as being very close to us, then generally what do? We lose respect for them. Before, we had a lot of respect for them, we feared them, we loved them way too much. But as soon as we feel closeness, what happens? We become so relaxed and so casual that we forget the etiquette of speaking to them properly, and we forget the etiquette of respecting them in an appropriate way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, He is near yet high. So even though you feel near to Allah and you love Him, don't ever say anything that is disrespectful. You understand? He is near and high. He is high and near. And also what happens is that when someone is too high, we think we've lost them. They don't care about us. No. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is high, yet He is near you. In a hadith we learn that in Musnad Ahmad, that Nawf radiallahu anhu said that we were told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His angels, "Call me for my servants." So they said, "Ya Allah, how can that be when there's 7 skies in between and the arsh also?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "When my servants say, 'La ilaha illallah,' then their call will be responded to." So the only distance that there is between you and Allah is what? La ilaha illallah. That's the only distance. La ilaha illallah. Because فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember Allah and Allah will remember you. So if we want to feel near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that we need to do? Just remember Him. Glorify Him. Talk to Him. Do His dhikr. And you will find Him near. Go in His way. Do something to please Him. Perform acts of obedience. Fear Allah. And where will you find Him? Before you. Where will you find Him? With you. And this is the reason why the person who is alone, what should he do? He should never feel that he is alone. Right? He should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah's nearness. Seek Allah's closeness. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would travel at the time of Fajr, before that in fact, at the time of Sahur, what would he say? سَمِعَ سَامِعٌ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَتِهِ وَحُسْنِ بَلَائِهِ عَلَيْنَا اللَّهُمَّ صَاحِبْنَا. O Allah, accompany us. فَأَفْضِلْ عَلَيْنَا عَائِدًا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Because when you're traveling, how do you feel? Alone in a strange place with strange people. Right? You feel alone. Even if you're surrounded by people, what happens in a plane that is full of people and you don't know anybody? You feel alone. You spend those 3-4 hours quiet. Absolutely quiet. You're alone. But if you remember Allah, you are not alone. Likewise, when a person is feeling afraid, then again, what should he realize at that time? That his Lord is near. So seek His help. This is why, when a person is feeling afraid of some enemy, then he should say a dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught. Allahu Akbar, Allahu A'azzu min khalqihi jami'a. Allahu A'azzu mimma akhafu wa ahdar. A'udhu billahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. Al-mumsiku as-samawati sab'i an yaqa'na ala al-ardi illa bi'idhnih. Min sharri 'abdika fulanin wa junudihi wa atba'ihi wa ashya'ihi min al-jinni wal-ins. Allahumma kulli jaran min sharrihim. Jalla thana'uk wa 'azza jaruk wa tabarak ismuk wa la ilaha ghayruk. What does it mean by this? Allahumma kulli jaran min sharrihim. Allah, be with me against their evil. You be with me. So whenever a person is alone, whenever a person is scared, feeling threatened, he should realize he is not alone. If he seeks Allah, he will have Allah's help with him. And literally that loneliness will go away. It will go away. In the night time, when you're feeling afraid, remember Allah, do dhikr, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And that fear of darkness, of being alone, it will go away.
I'm walking away, and I can't go with them, because I have to go myself somewhere else. And I just tell them, I can't help you, but call Allah. And you know, just call Him, He will help you at that time. And I can see Him feeling relief. That I told him, I can't be with you, but Allah can be with you, and He can help you, really, I can help you. And just ask Him, Allah, please help me before you sit in front of the teacher and do whatever you need to do. And then when I pick them up or teach them, Mommy, alhamdulillah, it was so good, my lesson. And you know, because they can relate that Allah's help was there at that time, because I reminded them to help, ask Allah to help them. I cannot help you.
Yes. And it's so important to remind children, to teach them from a young age that Allah is with you. He is watching you. He's keeping you safe. If you feel scared, ask Allah to keep you safe. And even when you're feeling nervous, when you're feeling scared, ask Allah to keep you safe. In front of them, out loud. Because the more they will hear this from you, the more they will believe in this. Yes, because لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك. There is no way, no place of safety, of security against you except with you. We can't run away from Him. We can only run to Him. We can only find security and safety with Him.
I can say that when I'm traveling, I try to carry money. I always carry it. And I sit and read them all the time. And also, if you're in a plane that is a, like either Emirates or something, it's a Muslim plane, you can get the whole the Quran being played, and you can recite to yourself or listen to that to keep you company. And I try to talk to people who are also lonely too, and try to like make them feel comfortable. And that way you find that you will not put, because you're dressed as a Muslim, you're portraying yourself as someone who is very, very, in a sense, approachable. Yeah. But I feel, as you said, loneliness, it only comes if you do not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when I think to myself, I said when I was telling somebody, that when I just, as I said, when I saw the car and the house being burnt, I just felt, you know, such a relief. I said, oh Allah, you saved me. Like that, the first thought that came in my head, I cannot explain to anybody how I felt, that Allah, I felt you are with me. That you really, Allah really saved us from something worse. Remember when my father passed away, as I said, I was here, but my family was all there. I straight away started reading tahajjud and started reading my salatul duha. And I felt Allah was with me every time. Like I find, like when you think of Allah, honestly, it's just like He's covering you, He's protecting you, He is there for you. No, you cannot tell anybody what you're feeling, but you can tell Allah.
People cannot even understand what we're going through.
Yeah.
We can only experience loneliness when we don't feel closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person, he remembers Allah in hard times, in good times, when alone and also when he's amongst people, then he's happy in whatever state that he is in. He doesn't expect from people. Wujubul imani, the obligation of iman, بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ, that indeed the Qur'an, it is kalamullah, it is the speech of Allah, حَقِيقَةً, in reality. Also believing in the fact that the Qur'an is actually, literally, the speech of Allah. These are literally His words. Fasl. وَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَكُتُبِهِ, of iman in Allah, of faith in Allah and His books, is الْإِيمَانُ, to believe, بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ, that indeed the Qur'an, it is kalamullah, it is the speech of Allah. So believing in the Qur'an being the speech of Allah is part of believing in who? In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Qur'an is kalam. And kalam, speech, is Allah's attribute. So when you believe in the Qur'an as Allah's speech, you are believing in Allah's attribute. When you believe in Allah's attribute, then your belief in Allah is complete. And who has told us that the Qur'an is Allah's speech? Allah Himself has told us. So confirming what He has told us is also part of iman. So this is why, وَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَكُتُبِهِ. How is it part of believing in His books? Because where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the Qur'an is a speech? In the kitab itself? In the Qur'an itself? Munazzalun. It has been revealed. غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. It is not created. It is munazzal, meaning it has been revealed. By who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Because Allah Himself says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ. Indeed, we have revealed the dhikr. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. So it is munazzal. It is غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. It is not created. Because if it was created, there would at least be one ayah in which the word khalq, khalaqa, would have been used for the Qur'an. At least a few references. But when nothing like that is found, and we learn such words, such as that it is his speech, that he has revealed it, then it is obvious that the Qur'an is Allah's speech, it is not created. مِنْهُ بَدَأَ. From him it initiated. From him it initiated. Meaning, its revelation is from Allah. It began from Him. It did not begin from Jibreel. Jibreel brought it from Allah. So the Qur'an is Allah's speech transmitted, conveyed by who? By Jibreel. So Jibreel, alayhi salam, who is he? Just someone who conveyed, who transmitted. So the Qur'an, مِنْهُ بَدَأَ, from him, meaning from Allah, it initiated. Because in the Qur'an, what do we learn? وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. That indeed, it is revelation from who? Lord of the worlds. And who has brought this revelation down? الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, meaning Jibreel. Elsewhere in the Qur'an also we learn, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسُ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Say that Ruhul Qudus, meaning Jibreel, he has brought this down from who? Mir Rabbik, from your Lord. So what do we learn? We receive this Qur'an from who? The Prophet ﷺ. Who received this Qur'an from who? Jibreel. And Jibreel ﷺ received Qur'an from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minhu bada'a. Because some people, they said the Qur'an is Allah's creation. It is not his speech. And they said, look, Jibreel brought it. So it's Jibreel's speech. Allah created the Qur'an in Jibreel. And Jibreel brought it. You understand? But the Qur'an contradicts this. In the Qur'an we learn, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. And he says, وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ. And to him it shall return. Meaning the Qur'an will return back to Allah. When? Close to the Day of Judgment. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ, and that indeed Allah, تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ, he spoke it, حَقِيقَةً, in reality. Realize the value of these words. Allah Azza wa Jal spoke them, in reality. وَأَنَّ هَذَا, and indeed this, القرآن, the Qur'an, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, which was revealed upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً. It is the speech of Allah, حَقِيقَةً, in reality, لَا كَلَامُ غَيْرِهِ. It is not the speech of someone else. It is whose speech? Allah's speech, not the speech of someone else. Okay, but what about the ayah in which we learn, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ, where the Qur'an is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, that indeed this is the word of a noble messenger, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. It is not the speech of a poet. And at another place in the Qur'an, we learn that the Qur'an is attributed to Jibreel, that إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ. It is the qawl of Rasul, an angel, a messenger, that is Kareem, that is noble. And who is he? ذِي قُوَّةٍ, very strong. And near Allah, he has a very good position, meaning Angel Jibreel. Now remember that the Prophet ﷺ, yes, he spoke the Qur'an. He recited the Qur'an. Jibreel also recited the Qur'an. And in the Qur'an it is said that it is their qawl. But just because they said it, just because they spoke it, just because they recited it, it does not mean that they initiated it. You understand? it does not mean that they initiated it. Like for example, this book. Who wrote it? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. You see this book in front of me? In my hand? This is also Al-Aqidat al-Wasitiyya, and it says, by the virtuous Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Does it mean that he wrote the book? No. It says sharh. It's the explanation of the book by who? By somebody else. Alright? Now, somebody explained it. It doesn't mean that they said it, they wrote it. They didn't originate it. They passed it on, they conveyed it, but they did not initiate it. Alright? And also, those who say that, oh, this Qur'an is actually Jibreel's speech. Now, if you say that it's Jibreel's speech, then why is it that in one place the Qur'an is attributed to Jibreel, and another place it's attributed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can it be the kalam of two at the same time? You understand? It cannot be the kalam of two different individuals at the same time. If it's being attributed to two, it means that they are taking it from somewhere. They're only transmitters. They're only carriers of the Qur'an. Those who brought the Qur'an, they actually received it from someone else. So the Qur'an, initiated by who? Allah Azza wa Jal. هو كلام الله حقيقة لا كلام غيره. Clear? ولا يجوز, and it is not permissible, إطلاق, to say in absolute terms, to say unrestrictively. ولا يجوز, because إطلاق is to say about something in absolute terms. Okay? In absolute terms. So for example, someone says, I follow my friend. Whatever she says, whatever she does, I do it. Obviously, it means in the matter of certain cases, right? Not in absolute terms. That if my friend is washing her face and I'm also washing my face at the same time, immediately after her. And if she's brushing her teeth and immediately after her, I will also brush my teeth. No, that's not what she means. What she means is, I follow my friend, meaning whatever she does in fashion, I also do the same thing. I just follow her. If she studies a book, a course, I also do the same thing. So, itlaq is to say something in absolute terms. Okay? To completely generalize. He says that, وَلَا يَجُوزُ, it is not permissible, itlaqul qawli, to say in absolute, unrestrictive terms, بِأَنَّهُ, that indeed it, meaning the Qur'an, it is حِكَايَةٌ, it is an account. It is just a narration. عَنْ, of, كَلَامِ اللَّهِ, the speech of Allah. Meaning we cannot say, in absolute terms, that the Qur'an is just a narration, just an account of the speech of Allah. Can we say this in restricted terms? We can say it in a restrictive sense. Okay? Like for example, someone is reciting the Qur'an. Okay? And you say that, okay, this recitation, this reading, his reading is a hikayah of Allah's speech. He's narrating Allah's speech to us. Alright? But we cannot say about the entire Qur'an that it is not actually Allah's speech. It was just a narration of what Allah said. أو عبارة عنه, or that it is an expression of it, an interpretation of it. We cannot say this in absolute terms. There were some groups that said that the Qur'an is not actually Allah's speech. Rather, Allah, He had kalam nafsi, meaning He had a speech within Himself. And He created that in Jibreel. Okay, He created that in Jibreel, and Jibreel passed it on. Or that Allah, He had kalam nafsi, He spoke to Himself, and He created some words. He didn't say them, He just created them. And He gave those words to Jibreel. Okay, and then Jibreel brought it. So they said that the Qur'an that we read, the Qur'an that we listen to, the Qur'an that we recite, it's not actually Allah's speech, it's just an expression of it. You understand? It's an expression of it. It's a narration of it. Don't think that these are the very words that Allah said. this is what these groups said. Who were these groups? The Kullabiyya, the Ash'ariyya, and so on and so forth. This is what they believed about the Qur'an. Now, is it even necessary to go into such detail? I mean, if you think about it, what's the point of this argument? What's the point of it? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the Qur'an His Kalam, just accept it. Why make up this long story? Okay, and add these strange details that have no basis just to prove that Allah does not have the attribute of speech? You understand? In denial of Allah's attributes, they made up this whole story. And what's the evidence? What's the foundation of the story? No evidence, no foundation. So he's refuting such people over here. He says, بَلْ إِذَا قَرَأَهُ النَّاسِ. He said, rather, when people read it, meaning when people recite the Qur'an, أَوْ كَتَبُوهُ, or when they write it, فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ, in the Mus'haf, لَمْ يَخْرُجْ, it does not come out, بِذَلِكَ, with that, عَنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ, that it should be كَلَامَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى حَقِيقَةً, that it should be the speech of Allah in reality. Meaning, just because we are reading it, and just because we are writing it, that does not mean that the Qur'an is not Allah's speech. Of course it is Allah's speech. And no matter how much we read it, no matter how much we recite it, it will always remain the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why? Because He is the one who originally said it. فَإِنَّ الْكَلَامَ, because indeed speech, إِنَّمَا, indeed يُضَافُ, it is always attributed, حَقِيقَةً, in reality, إِلَى, to مَن, the one who قَالَهُ, he said it, مُبْتَدِئًا, originally. مُبْتَدِئ, not مُبْتَدِعَ. Okay, this is مُبْتَدِئ, from بَدَأَ. بَدَأَ is to initiate. So kalam is always attributed to who? To the one who initially, originally said it. Like for example, quotations, quotes of scholars, of righteous people. They are quoted all the time, aren't they? Now when a person quotes a statement of, for example, Imam Ahmad, then when he's saying it, when he's quoting it, does it become his own speech? Yes, he is saying it, but it doesn't mean that he is the one who initiated it. Right? Now, for example, you hear a particular scholar say a statement a lot, very, very frequently. And then you read the same statement in a book and it is said that this was a statement of Imam Ahmad. Now you're like, no, it's not the statement of Imam Ahmad. I heard this scholar say this statement so many times. This is the statement of that scholar. No, it's not the statement of that scholar. He was just passing it on to you. He took it from Imam Ahmad. So you understand? No matter how much a statement is said, it is quoted, it is narrated, it is written, go ahead and do it as many times as you want. But remember that it will always be attributed to who? To the one who originally said it. La, not ila, to man, the one who قَالَهُ, who said it, مُبَلِّغًا مُؤَدِّيًا, as a مُبَلِّغ, as a مُؤَدِّي. Who is مُبَلِّغ? The one who is conveying. Who is مُؤَدِّي? The one who is transmitting. So, kalam will not be attributed to the one who is just passing it on. The one who is conveying it forward. No, it will always be attributed to the one who originally said it. وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. And Jibreel, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are they? Transmitters. مُبَلِّغ. مُؤَدِّي. وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. It is the speech of Allah. حُرُوفُهُ وَمَعَانِهِ. It's حُرُوف and it's ma'ani. Meaning the Qur'an entirely is Allah's speech. In both, in words and meanings. These very words are the words that Allah spoke. He spoke to Jibreel. And Jibreel brought these words to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are not empty words. They have meaning. And these meanings, meaningful words, are which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, that were brought by Jibreel. He says, لَيْسَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. It is not just the speech of Allah, الْحُرُوف, in just words, دُونَ الْمَعَانِ, without any meaning. Don't say that the Qur'an is just words without meaning. وَلَا and not الْمَعَانِي, just meanings, دُونَ الْحُرُوف, without حُرُوف, without words. Again, divisions in the ummah. What happened? Some people, they said, the Qur'an is Allah's speech, both the words and the meanings. These were meaningful words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, and He spoke these words. And this is the position of who? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some people, they said, that no. The Qur'an is, okay, kalam of Allah, but it's just huruf. It's just words. And these words, they're not without meaning. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke these words, okay? He said these words, but they don't really carry a meaning. And this is when the people did ta'atil. You see what ta'atil is? What is ta'atil? To abandon the meaning. So they said, it's just words. Meaningless words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called these huruf His speech, meaning the Qur'an His speech, just to honor the Qur'an. Just as, you know, naqah, Allah's creation. Bayt, Allah's creation. You know, samawat wal ard, Allah's creation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls the naqah, naqatullah. Why? Just to honor it. So just like that, He called it kalam Allah, just to honor it. And others said that the meaning is from Allah, but the words are Jibreel's words. Meaning Allah inspired Jibreel, He explained to Jibreel, and Jibreel, He spoke the words. Again, all of this long story, why? Why? To just deny Allah's attribute of speech. Just to deny Allah's attribute of speech. You see what happens? ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That a person begins to talk about matters that don't even make sense to him. That don't even make sense to others when they hear these weird stories and weird descriptions. I mean, if I were to go into the detail of all of this and explain to you what exactly they meant, it would be so complicated. So complicated. That how a person has to do ta'wil. He has to make things up. And he has to complicate matters just to deny something. And if you were to accept it as is, life would be easy for you and for others. And the thing is that when we deny that the Qur'an is Allah's speech, and if we were to deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, if we deny His attribute, then we are denying many things. We are denying the sharia that Allah has revealed, and we are also denying the qadr, meaning the decree of Allah, the creation of Allah. Because the sharia, the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the people to observe, to follow, how did it come to us? Through revelation. Right? Revelation. Through wahi. And wahi is speech that was conveyed to the messengers. So if we deny kalam, what are we denying? Sharia. We are denying wahi. If we deny wahi, we are denying sharia. Right? Likewise, the qadr. This khalq, this creation. How did it come about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, right? And what does He say? That innama, His amr is what? That أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُون. يَقُولَ, He says, كُن, be, and it happens. So this is the reason why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he is refuting the people who hold such beliefs. Because we might think, what's the big deal? They have these strange beliefs, leave them. No, we cannot leave these false beliefs to spread. Because if they spread, what will happen? Our aqidah is corrupted. Then we are denying the law of Allah, we are denying the fact that He created.
This belief that people have that subhanAllah, Quran is only the inspiration of Allah and the words are Jibreel alayhi salam. Actually, that makes the difference between the Hadith al-Qudsi and Quran itself.
Yes. Jazakillah khairan.
Things, and then, you know, they go on denying, you know, the process and its truthfulness. So, I mean, they start from these points as well.
Exactly. Because then, I mean, the Prophet ﷺ was Amin. He would recite the Qur'an exactly as it was conveyed to him. Right? And then people, they say things like, okay, he was inspired just like so many people. They have thoughts and good feelings in their heart, in their mind, and they begin a revolution. So Muhammad ﷺ, he also began a revolution in changing humanity. What would be the difference between the Prophet ﷺ and the rest of the people?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm thinking that in order to follow their desires and do whatever they want,
refute all kinds of law and order and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and what have you, whatever we are reading about. I think and the effort has come out to be so confused that they cannot make up their mind what else they can come up with that will refute this. It just boils down to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also boils down to like following their shahwat and right. their own desires to do what they want to do. And if you want to do it, do it. Like, but they want to clear themselves that while we're doing it, we're not making any sin. This is perfectly all right, so you can come join, and whatever this is fine. So, alhamdulillah, for us to be able to see this clearly, what exactly is the truth and what is not.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. And the thing is that, I mean, the Qur'an, the reason why it has value, the reason why we memorize it, and we are so careful about the harakat and the arrangement of the words and the correct pronunciation of the letters. Why? Because the words themselves are sacred. We cannot alter them, we cannot change them, because these words are the words that Allah spoke. So when the Qur'an is considered sacred, when the Qur'an is considered such that we cannot change it at all, we respect it, we believe in it, just the very words of the Qur'an, they are a source of peace, you know, and satisfaction for us. Why? Because these are the words of Allah. And if we say, oh, these words, you know, Allah just inspired Jibreel and Jibreel spoke these words, the Qur'an loses its value then. Yes, then people can change it, they can alter it, they can twist its meaning, and they can do whatever they want. Wujubul imani, the obligation of iman, biru'iyatil mu'minina rabbahum, in the ru'ya, seeing of al-mu'mineen, the believers, rabbahum, their Lord. When? Yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of judgment, wa mawadi'u ru'yati, and the different places of ru'ya. The obligation of this belief that the believers will see their Lord on the Day of Judgment. Meaning it is obligatory for us to believe in this fact. And what are the different places, the different stages of the hereafter where the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would you like to know? Okay. Because we learn that people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where? In Jannah, but do we have to wait 50,000 years? Or will it happen before that also? Fasl. وَقَدْ دَخَلَ أَيْضًا. And included in this, أَيْضًا also, فِيمَا, in that which, ذَكَرْنَاهُ, we have mentioned, مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ, of iman in him, meaning in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَبِكُتُبِهِ, and in his books, وَبِمَلَائِكَتِهِ, and in his angels, وَبِرُسُلِهِ, and in his messengers, meaning part of iman in Allah, his books, his angels, his messengers, is al-imanu, to believe, بِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that indeed the believers, يَرَوْنَهُ, they will see him, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of judgment, عِيَانًا بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. عِيَانًا بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, meaning with eyes. Literally, in reality, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you see the person in front of you with your eyes, it's not just a hallucination, it's not just an image in your mind. No, you see the one who is before you. So on the Day of Judgment, the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. In reality, they will see. Now the question is, how is this a part of iman in Allah? How is this a part of iman billah? Because basically what is being implied over here is that if you don't believe that you will see Allah, that Allah will be seen by the believers, then your iman in Allah is incomplete. Your iman in Allah will only be complete if you believe that Allah will be seen by the believers on the Day of Judgment. The question is, how? What's the connection over here? Because Allah told us. Allah Himself told us. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةً. That some people will see their Lord on the Day of Judgment. How is this a part of iman bil kutub? Because a book informs us of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of this through who? Through what? Through His book.
And it is part of Iman bil Malaika,
because Jibreel brought this revelation from Allah.
And it is part of Iman bil Rusul, because the Rusul conveyed this to the people. They conveyed the revelation to the people. So the believers will see with their eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be observed by the believers. كَمَا يَرَوْنَ, just as they see, meaning just as people see. الشَّمْسَ, the sun. Do you see the sun? When can you see it? When it's up in the sky, right? When it's above you, you can see it. So, كَمَا يَرَوْنَ شَمْسًا, just as people see the sun. صَحْوًا, صَحْوًا, meaning clearly. Basically, when لَيْسَ بِهَا سَحَابٌ, when there are no clouds around it. Because when there are clouds around it, around the sun, then the sun is hidden behind the clouds. So, the sky, when it is cloudless, when there are no clouds and the sun is up there, are you able to see the sun clearly? Yes, you can see the clear disk. You can see the circle. So as clearly as you see the sun, you will be able to see Allah also. وَكَمَا يَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ, and just as they see the moon, لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ, on the night when it is full. لَا يُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, they do not suffer in seeing Him. Meaning when they will see Allah, they will not suffer from any harm in seeing Allah. In fact, looking at the moon on a clear night, on a night when the moon is full, it's actually very comforting. Looking at the sun, okay, it may hurt your eyes a little bit if you stare for too long. But the moon, the more you look at it, the more comfort and joy it brings you, the more peace it brings you. So, لَا يُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ يَرَوْنَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ, they will see Him, the Exalted. وَهُمْ, while they, فِي عَرَصَاتِ الْقِيَامَةِ, in the عَرَصَات of قِيَامَةِ. What is عَرَصَات? عَرَصَات is a plural of عَرْصَة. And عَرْصَة is مَكَان وَاسِعُ, a huge, vast place that has no building, nothing on it. Because on the Day of Judgment, the earth will be flattened, it will be extended, stretched, spread out, like a sheet of leather skin or something. Nothing will be on it. No bend, no curvature, nothing at all. Plain. So, in the arasat of Qiyamah, meaning the hashr, the mahshr, where the people are gathered together, even over there, the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the arasat of Qiyamah, remember, people will be of three types. Three categories. One group will be of true believers. True believers. Khullas. Mu'mineen that are khullas. Sincere, true. In zahir and batin. Meaning on the appearance, they were believers. And in their hearts also, they were true believers. The second group of people will be of true disbelievers. Meaning in their heart they were disbelievers, and on the outward also they were disbelievers, in zahir and in batin. And the third category of people will be those who believed on the outward, but they were actually disbelievers inside. And who are they? The munafiqun, the hypocrites. The believers, because بِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَرَوْنَهُ, the believers will see Allah in عَرَصَات of the Qiyamah. They will see Allah even when they are gathered in that great gathering. They will see Allah. The believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning while the hisab is going on, and while some people are being led towards the sirat, and other people are being thrown into the hellfire, during that time the believers will see Allah. Just imagine the peace and the comfort that they will feel on seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The disbelievers will not see their Lord ever. Ever. The believers, on the other hand, will see Allah in their arasat, and also after entering Jannah. But the disbelievers will not ever, ever see their Lord. Some said that they will see their Lord, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show Himself to them angry and upset. But the stronger opinion is that they shall not ever see their Lord. Because in the Quran, Allah Himself says, إِنَّهُمْ عَلْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. With regards to the hypocrites, a third group, it is said that they shall see Allah in the arasat, in the great gathering. But then Allah will conceal Himself from them forever. Forever. So they will never ever see Allah again. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ فِي عَرَصَاتِ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ يَرَوْنَهُ. Then they will see Him بَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, even after entering into paradise. كَمَا يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ, as Allah wills. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, perfect and exalted He is. Meaning, كَمَا يَشَاءُ, they will see Allah in a way that Allah will want them to see Him. As Allah wills. And they will see Allah at whatever time that He wants to show Himself to them. And they will see Allah for however long that He allows them to see Him. كَمَا يَشَاءُ, as He wills. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ, this hadith is in Muslim, that all people know, أَنَّهُ لَنْ يَرَى أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يَمُوتُ, that none of you can see His Lord until He dies. Meaning, after death, in the hereafter, only then a person can see Allah. In another hadith we learn that, this hadith is in Musnad Ahmad, that when the people of Jannah have entered Jannah, and people of fire have entered the fire, the people of Jannah will be called. They will be addressed. They will be told, O people of Jannah, your Lord has a meeting with you. Your Lord has a meeting with you. إِنَّ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَوْعِدًا. They will say, has He not already made our scales heavy? And has He not already given us our records in our right hands? And has He not already admitted us in Jannah and saved us from the fire? Meaning, what is this meeting for? We already have everything. We've already been passed and sent over here. So the barrier will be removed and Allah will show Himself to them. Meaning they will see Allah. So this meeting will be for the purpose of what? Just for seeing Allah. Because the rewards are already given to them in Jannah. But they will have meeting with Allah. They will be called that you have a special appointment. You have a special meeting. Just to see your Lord. In a hadith in Bukhari we learned the Prophet ﷺ said, two gardens, the utensils and the contents of which are of silver, and two other gardens, the utensils and contents of which are of gold. And nothing will prevent the people who will be in the Garden of Eden from seeing their Lord except the curtain of majesty over His face. Meaning, when the people are in Jannah, there will still be hijab on Allah's face. The curtain of majesty. And Allah will call people every now and then to meet Him and to see Him. In a hadith in Muslim we learn that when those deserving of Jannah will enter Jannah, the Blessed and the Exalted would ask, do you wish me to give you anything more? They will say, have you not brightened our faces? Have you not made us enter Jannah and saved us from the fire? Then Allah, while the people will be saying this, Allah will lift the veil. And of the things which are given to them, nothing would be dearer to them than the sight of their Lord. Meaning they will forget about all the blessings of Jannah. Seeing the face of Allah, every blessing will seem less. In another hadith we learn, and this is in Sahih al-Targhib wa-Tarhib, Prophet ﷺ said that Jibreel came to me, and in his hand was a glass, in which was a black dot. So just imagine a glass, something of glass, and in it is a black dot, meaning something very, a speck of black. The Prophet ﷺ said, I said, O Jibreel, what is this? He said, it is Jumu'ah. The Prophet ﷺ said, I said, what is this black dot in it? He said, this is the hour, meaning the day of judgment. It will be on the day of Friday. And it is the leader of all days near us. And we will call it in the Akhirah, Yawmun Mazid. Meaning in the hereafter, the day of Friday, we will call it the day of increase, Yawm Mazid. The Prophet ﷺ said, I said, why will you call it the day of increase? He said, because your Lord, the Exalted, has made in paradise valleys that are more fragrant than white musk. When it will be Friday, Allah will descend from the Illiyin, meaning from high above, upon His kursi. And He will surround His kursi with podiums of light. The prophets will come and sit upon those podiums, on those pillars of light. Siddiq and Shuhada will come, and they will also sit. And then the people of paradise will arrive, and they will sit upon dunes. Meaning also on high places, on elevated surfaces. But you see, there is a difference here. The prophets, martyrs, truthful, where are they sitting? Podiums of light, manabir min nur. And where are those manabir? Surrounding the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where are the rest of the people of Jannah? On dunes, meaning they're also high. Then their Lord will show Himself to them until they will look at His face, and He will say, I am the one who fulfilled my promises to you, and I am the one who completed my blessing upon you. This is the place of my honor, so ask me. So they will ask Him for ar-ridha, for pleasure, meaning for His pleasure, that, oh Allah, you be happy with us, you be pleased with us. And He will say, it is my pleasure that has admitted you in my home and has brought you to the place of my honor. So ask me. Meaning if it was not for my already being happy with you, you would not have reached here. So they will ask Him. They will ask Him until their desires are exhausted. Their wish lists are basically exhausted. They won't know what else to ask for. Then He will open for them. He will disclose to them what no eye has seen, no ear has heard of, and what has not even passed on the heart of any person. Meaning, reward that was unimaginable by any human being. But He will disclose it to them for the same duration as that of people returning from Friday prayers. So on Friday, people go for a meeting, right? For a congregation. It's short, it's not that long. And just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them such amazing reward for just a brief period of time. The shuhada and the siddiqoon. Then Allah will ascend upon His kursi. And the shuhada and the siddiqoon will also ascend. And the people of ghuraf, meaning of high places, they will return to their ghuraf. And their ghuraf, their rooms, their homes, what are they like? They are like white pearls that are free from any crack or any roughness. Meaning smooth, beautiful homes. Or their homes will be of red coral or green zaburdaj. That is also mentioned. Their homes will be made of it. Their doors will also be made of the same. And in their homes will be rivers and fruits and families and servants. Meaning everything within their homes. They will not need anything. So they will not be in need of anything except for the day of Friday. Meaning within the homes of the people of Jannah, everything will be there. Such that they will not have to ever go out or seek anything or desire anything. Because when is it that you want to go out of your house? When there is something which is not in your house. Right? You want to go to lake shore. Why? Because there is no lake inside your house. You want to go to the beach because there is no beach in your house. You want to go hiking because there are no mountains in your house, in your property. Right? But in Jannah, in every home, every need, every desire is fulfilled. So there is no need for the people of Jannah to think about, oh, I wish I could go somewhere, I wish I could go somewhere. But there is one desire that they will have. And what is that desire? Waiting for Friday. Why? So that they may increase in their honor, and so that they may look at His face, the Exalted. And this is why the day of Friday will be called the day of Mazid, the day of increase. This is the one thing that the people of Jannah will look forward to. One thing that they will look forward to always. The meeting with Allah. The meeting with Allah that will make them more happy and more satisfied and more content and more beautiful. And this is why we believe, وَلِقَاءُكَ حَقٌّ. Ya Allah, your meeting, it is true. It is real. And this is why we ask Allah to give us the ladha, the pleasure, the enjoyment of looking at His face, of meeting Him and of looking at His face. There's a short video that I would like you to watch and reflect.
أنصت لابن القيم رحمه الله وهو يصف هذا المشهد العظيم وهذا اللقاء الكبير بين أولياء الله وبين الله سبحانه ليروا وجه العظيم جل جلاله. اسمع وتخيل نفسك معهم. عسى الله أن يجعلني وإياك. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله: وإن سألت عن يوم المزيد وزيارة العزيز الحميد ورؤية وجه الله المنزه عن التمثيل والتشبيه كما تواتر عن الصادق المصدوق النقل فيه أن المنادي ينادي يا أهل الجنة إن ربكم تبارك وتعالى يستزيركم فحي على زيارته فيقولون سمعا وطاعة وينهضون إلى الزيارة مبادرين فإذا بالمجائب قد أعدت لهم فيستوون على ظهورها مسرعين حتى إذا انتهوا إلى الوادي الأفيح الذي جعل لهم موعدا وجمعوا هناك فلم يغادر الداعي منهم أحدا أمر الرب تعالى بكرسيه فنصب هناك ثم نصبت لهم منابر من نور ومنابر من لؤلؤ ومنابر من زبرجد ومنابر من ذهب ومنابر من فضة وجلس أدناهم وحاشاهم أن يكون فيهم دني على كثبان المسك حتى إذا استقرت بهم مجالسهم واطمأنت بهم أماكنهم نادى المنادي يا أهل الجنة إن لكم عند الله موعدا موعدا يريد أن ينجزكم يا أهل الجنة إن لكم عند الله موعدا يريد أن ينجزكم فيقولون ما هو فيقولون ما هو ألم يبيض وجوهنا ألم يثقل موازيننا ألم يدخلنا الجنة ويزحزحنا عن النار فبينما هم كذلك إذ سطع لهم نور أشرقت له الجنة فرفعوا رؤوسهم فإذا الجبار فإذا الجبار جل جلاله قد أشرق عليهم من فوقهم وقال يا أهل الجنة فإذا الجبار جل جلاله قد أشرق عليهم من فوقهم وقال يا أهل الجنة سلام عليكم يا أهل الجنة سلام عليكم ويتجلى لهم الرب يضحك سبحانه وتعالى ثم ينادي أين عبادي أين عبادي الذين أطاعوني بالغيب ولم يروني أين عبادي الذين أطاعوني بالغيب ولم يروني هذا يوم المزيد هذا يوم المزيد فيجتمعون على كلمة واحدة أن قد رضينا فارض عنا أن قد رضينا فارض عنا فيقول الله سبحانه يا أهل الجنة إني لو لم أرض عنكم لم أسكنكم جنتي هذا يوم المزيد فاسألوني فيجتمعون على كلمة واحدة أرنا وجهك ننظر إليه أرنا وجهك ننظر إليه أرنا وجهك ننظر إليه فيكشف لهم الرب جل جلاله الحجب ويتجلى لهم فيغشاهم من نور ما لولا أن الله تعالى قضى ألا يحترقوا لاحترقوا ولا يبقى في ذلك المجلس أحد إلا حاضره ربه محاضرة حتى إنه يقول يا فلان أتذكر يوم فعلت كذا وكذا يا فلان أتذكر يوم فعلت كذا وكذا يذكره ببعض غمراته في الدنيا فيقول يا رب ألم تغفر لي فيقول بلى بلى بمغفرتي بلغت منزلتك
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته